Hai sentito Luca? Ha detto
No, cosa ha detto?
che ieri ha incontrato Elena.
Elena che ha abitato a Roma?
No, Elena che ha lavorato nel ristorante.
Ah, ho capito. Quindi è qui?
Sì, però acqua in bocca. È un segreto. Buongiorno, buongiorno, buongiorno Marco, come stai?
Ciao Martin, bene, grazie. Tu come stai? Come va oggi? Sì,
Ah, molto bene, grazie, molto bene. È venerdì qui, non so che giorno.
no, anche qui, anche in Spagna. Also in Spain it's Friday. Sì.
Really, veramente? That's
Yeah.
absolutely amazing.
Lucky, lucky.
I know, right?
So, come va? Come... No, we cannot say that yet. But how was your week?
La mia settimana
Bene.
era bene, molto bene, sì. Ho
Sì.
lavorato e ho studiato. Hai corso?
Sì, ho corso.
Okay, I wonder if we should explain what we're doing
Shall we? No, yeah. So we will be trying with the passato prossimo today. Is the topic of today, which is the first and most important, in my opinion, past in Italian. Would you say it's easy or hard as a topic? Obviously, we're talking about beginner level. You usually do it in an A1 level, one of the very first things. What's your experience with the passato prossimo, Martin?
I think it depends if you've learnt another European language before. I think as a first tense after doing present tense, because it's a compound tense, it's a bit confusing. But
Okay, so we'll take
it's
our
one
time.
of those tenses that once you've learnt other tenses, this one feels like an old pair of shoes. It's really comfortable, and you can always rely on it. And I think it's because it's the first one you learn, and so you put a lot of time into it, and it becomes something that you kind of remember.
I agree. And I think it's really good to learn that early because I think you'd only need the present and one past in Italian to be okay. Then you can learn a lot more because Italian has a lot of tenses, as we know. But with the present tense and this past, you're good. And usually I prefer this tense to the passato remoto, which really up to where you're from. But in the north, nobody uses the passato remoto. We all use only this tense that we're going to see today. In the south, it's a bit more mixed, or they prefer the other one. But I'm from the north, so that's what I do.
Yeah, right. Okay, so slightly off topic here, but
Right.
the passato remoto, does that come from generations and years of people from other nations using language in the south, like the Greeks, perhaps? And, so it kind of all mixes in with the Latin down there and makes it slightly different.
I mean, that's possible. I know that that kind of past was there in Latin, and I think it was the past that they used. It's still the past that they use mostly in Spanish because they use a lot more the passato remoto than the passato prossimo.
All right.
I assume they just both existed at the same time, and then we chose the passato prossimo. Spanish chose the passato remoto as the favorite one. Southern Italy tends to go together with Spanish because we're very close culturally. So I guess it's a bit later that the contamination happened. But I'm guessing. I'm not a linguist.
Yeah, no, interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But yeah, for those that are confused, basically in Italian there are two main tenses that are pasts. We have many pasts, right? But two main ones, and one is called passato prossimo, which is what we're going to see today. Which is the simpler one when you learn them. And one is the passato remoto, which is the other one, which is a bit more complex and that nobody uses in the north of Italy. But yeah, in the south of Italy, it's usually preferred. It's just geographically a bit different.
I think if you're an English person listening to this, the passato prossimo is the easiest one to understand because you all have to do, more or less all of you have to do French in school, and
Okay.
that is what you use as a past tense in French.
Very good. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I didn't want to get into French because my French is very iffy, but Spanish is kind of the other way around. Okay.
Right, okay, so what we're going to do, should we go through it and then
Let's
explain?
riffle through it first, I would say, and then we kind of try to figure out the rule. I don't want to be super didactic today, kind of want it to be
No.
intuitive. So let's see if we can understand from the dialogue.
Okay, so I sentito Luca, the first sentence. Obviously, Luca's the person. I sentito are the two words that are used for the passato prossimo.
Very good.
We've got I there, HAI, which we know is from a verb that we've already talked about, haven't we?
We did.
Avere.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Yes, one of our favorites, yes. And so I is the second person singular, as in you have. And I guess it makes sense in this context because sentito is the past participle of to hear, sentire, and also to feel,
Also, yeah.
usare. Yeah, so obviously this means have you felt Luca?
Yeah. Or have you heard Luca? That
Yeah,
depends on
maybe.
how you want to interpret the sentence. Yeah.
Yeah, depending on what kind of passage this is, really, I suppose.
Right. And the kind of what kind of person Luca is as well.
Yeah,
That's a lot
yeah.
of yeah. But let's say it's
I mean,
heard for the sake of this exercise.
amichevole, very friendly.
Amichevole,
Yeah.
friendly. Very good.
Okay, so no, cosa ha detto? So, no, obviously, no, they haven't. Marco hasn't heard or felt Luca. Cosa, what, ha detto. So again, we've got a there, which is from avere, which is the third person singular. So he has, or has he, what has he, and then detto, which is a past participle to say.
Yes, dire, which is dire is always a tricky verb in Italian. The reason being that it was dicere or dicere in Latin, whichever pronunciation you prefer, if you prefer the actual Latin pronunciation or the late Italian pronunciation. But we kind of dropped that che in the modern times, so things happen that shouldn't. And the same thing happens with the verb fare. They're very, very similar in that.
Which makes them easier to use in the imperfect, but
Very good.
unfortunately not in the kind of passato prossimo. So
Correct.
yeah, we know that detto then is the past tense of or the past participle of to say. So what has he said?
Very good. What has he said? This cosa we kind of looked at last week, but also we didn't too much because it got a bit confusing. So I had to do some cut and paste work. I don't know if you remember, Martin. But yeah, cosa means what? And then ha detto, has he said? And we know that in Italian, when we ask questions, we never really talked about this, but when we ask a question in Italian, it's just the very same word order. We don't move anything around as you do in English and in other languages. We just ask with the intonation. That's enough for us to understand that it's a question.
Yeah, and also I think it's quite important to mention here as well that we've got I sentito and we've got a detto. We could have had it the other way around. We could have had a sentito and I detto, in that the sentito and the detto just don't change
Very good.
as a
That's
past participle.
a very good thing to start noticing. And I always say whenever we study, it's good to see patterns. So this is the first thing that we notice, correct? The sentito and the detto are the same word, so to speak. They end both in an O, which, as a matter of fact, is going to be a very, very common thing, or well, all past participles in Italian end in O. So it's small things that we can start noticing, even though we don't quite know yet what's going on at a grand level.
And it's one of those things, if you're listening to people speaking in Italian, it stands out. And so you know that somebody's talking about an action that's happened in the past.
Very good. Yes. I agree completely. It's very important to pick up a tense before we can actually properly use it.
Yeah. Okay. So then, ha detto che ieri ha incontrato Elena. So would you say Elena or Elena?
No, in Italian it's Elena, which I know is a bit annoying, but yeah, we say Elena.
Elena.
Very good.
Okay, right. Okay. So ha detto, as in the last sentence, and ha incontrato. So we've got two in that sentence. So ad detto we know means he said, or he has said. Che, that. Ieri, which is a good bit of vocabulary to know, along with oggi and domani. Ieri is yesterday. Ha incontrato. So again, we've got a there, so we know it's the third person. So it's he has incontrato from incontrare, which is to meet.
Very good. Regular verb, first conjugation, we know how to work with that.
Yeah, so we know. So basically, he said that yesterday he met Eleanor, or he
Very
has
good.
met Eleanor.
Very
Same
good.
thing.
And we can see that in all of these cases, I didn't basically ever put the subject in. I could have said lui ha detto che ieri lui ha incontrato Elena, which sounds very, very slow. Sounds like you're really wasting a lot of time. So generally speaking, if we can skip the subject in most cases in Italian, always. I think that with this past, it's particularly common to skip it, just because we already have two words. It just really sounds like a third word, the subject, which is unneeded, really slows down what we're saying. So that's why it's never there. It sounded very ugly to me.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the bonuses of learning Italian, in that you're not using extra words where you don't need them. I think it's a big benefit.
I agree.
Elena, che ha abitato a Roma? So this is a question. Elena, again, we've got che in there, which is the I used to know these words when I was a teacher, and I keep forgetting what it's a relative pronoun.
It is.
That's it. Yeah. Elena, that or who ha abitato a Roma? Now we know that Roma is the real spelling of what everyone else calls Rome for some bizarre reason. But no, we still don't know who's responsible for changing all these names, but there you go. And a Roma means in Rome. And so ha abitato is again a from avere, third person singular. Abitato from abitare, to live.
To live, very good. So Elena, who has or that has lived in Rome, we can notice two things here besides the abitato, which we will see in a second. That a Roma, very common in Italian, when it's a city, you live at Rome, I guess you would say. Vivi a Roma, a Boston, a New York. Cities were never we never put in before cities, put in before countries, but not before cities. So a Roma in Italia. But yeah, a Roma. Remember, whenever you're saying a city, never say in, always say a.
I will always remember that. Okay. No, Elena che ha lavorato nel ristorante. So no, Elena. And again, we got another K. You like your K's this week, don't you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, Elena that ha lavorato. So again, ha lavorato from lavorare to work. So Elena that who has worked in the restaurant.
Very good.
Okie dokie. Ah, ho capito. Oh, look, we've used a different one here. So, avere again, but this time it's ho. So the first person. I capito from capire. I have understood. Oh, I understand. Quindi, therefore, I like quindi. Quindi's good. Yeah, we were walking through Venice, which is actually called Venezia. And again, those people changed that. And we saw these children. It was like just before school time, and they were stood in the in like a square with the backpacks on. And as we walked past this girl who clearly was asserting her age over her peers, and she only looked like she was about five, began a sentence with "Quindi," and I kind of started chuckling. And I said to my wife, "Yeah, she's kind of started a sentence there with therefore."
Yes. It's also quindi is a bit of a filler often. You know, it's like allora, very very similar words in that. So the correct meaning is therefore, as you said. And in this case it's therefore, but it can be used in as you know, more ways, let's say, as all words
Yeah,
in all languages.
she was definitely using it as a therefore.
Yeah,
I'll
okay.
just say by a body language, it was a therefore.
Okay.
Quindi e qui. Okay, so therefore, is she here? Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
This qui also, qui and qua, interesting words to say here. It's very, very commonly heard. And I don't know if you knew that. How would you call the three nephews of Donald Duck? What are their names?
Okay, is this a pub quiz?
No, yeah, I don't know in English. In Italian, they're called qui quo qua. That's why I'm asking.
The Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yeah, them. Yeah, in Italian, we call them qui quo qua. Qui is the one with the red hat, and the other two, I'm not familiar with. I always mix them up. The green and the light blue one. I don't remember which is which. If you
But that makes no
know,
sense
why?
because that means that two of them are called here.
Yeah.
But what's quo? That's
Nothing.
Latin.
Well, it's Latin, but it's also nothing. I think in all languages they chose three words that are very similar and like alliterating and cute. So it does not mean
Right.
anything. It's just, it's cute. I don't know.
And here are my children. Here, and here.
Yeah, it works.
Brilliant. Okie dokie. Well, there you go. And finally, si, però acqua in bocca è un segreto. Right, well, I kind of guessed what this is, but è un segreto is the thing that gives it away because segreto is a secret. So è un segreto, it's a secret. And this is your idiom of the week here. Si, yes, però, which is one of your 312 words for but, acqua in bocca, water in mouth.
Yes, very good. Because when you have water in mouth, you cannot really speak, right? So
Yeah, I watched a horror film the other day called The Conjuring 2, and it's based on a true story, but I'm not sure whether this part was true. So this girl was speaking in tongues,
okay.
and in order to get proof for the Catholic Church that she wasn't saying these words, they recorded her while she had water in her mouth.
Amazing.
There you go.
There you go. So.
And at the time, I thought, wow, that's one of those things I've never seen before, and it'll never come up again in my life. And within 3 days.
Imagine. Go figure. Do you have anything similar in English that kind of expresses the same feeling?
basically, what we would say is put a sock in it.
Okay. I guess it's similar because with a sock, also, it's very hard to speak. Yeah.
So, would that be calza in bocca?
Calza, I use the word calzino rather,
Okay.
for sock. For me, calza is like a bigger one. So,
Like a
like the one,
stocking.
yeah, very good. Stocking, the ones for like, how do you call it? Collant? I don't know how you call them in English, but like for women, like the long ones, like whole, whole leg. For me, calzino is the short one, but.
Is the smaller one. But okay, then. So, well, let me ask you this then. So, when you're wearing trainers, when you're out for a run, you'll be wearing even smaller ones. What are they called? Calzinettos.
No. That'd be a good one though. So the very short ones, the ones that you do not see,
Yeah.
I think they're called fantasmini by some. I would not. That sounds ridiculous to me. I just still call them calzini. Fantasmini is like little ghosts because you cannot see them.
Yeah. Ghost socks.
Invisible, yeah. But I just call them
Fantas.
calzini. Like anything from ankle all the way to knee, for me, it's a calzino. And then we can have a negotiation about anything above. But it's really so. What my dad used to call them pedalini, which is a very central Italy way to call it. It's very funny to me. It's kind of the same idea. You have different words for the same things in different cities, right? So I always
Yeah.
said calzini, and that's what I call them. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right. So, yeah, because I guess, I don't know, maybe we call them ankle socks. So, is that caviglio, an ankle?
Caviglia, yeah, is an ankle, yeah.
Caviglia. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, right. Interesting. Fantasmini.
Fantasmini, yeah.
Right. Cool. So, right. Well, do you want to explain? I will just say here, you've clearly done this on purpose, but there's only one way of doing the passato prossimo on purpose here, isn't there?
Yeah, correct. I was going to ask you if you noticed that, but you obviously did. You were a teacher, Martin. Did you have a favorite topic to teach, or like favorite top, like things that you used to get to the
Oh
audience
yeah.
like happy? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Things that you look forward to. And I think the thing is, as we said before, when you teach something that you really love teaching, that's when people learn it.
That makes sense. I agree with that. This is one of my favorite topics to teach. Whenever I get to it, I'm pretty happy. So it's not the simplest topic, it's not the hardest topic. But here, let's just say what we see first of all, Martin. You were saying before two words, right? The verb avere and this weird sentito, incontrato, lavorato form that is kind of similar to the infinitive. So it's pretty obvious what we're doing here, right? We're basically conjugating this like we're doing I have listened in English. So subject, which we can skip in many situations, as we know in Italian, and the verb have conjugated, and then the verb listened or ascoltato or sentito, which is not conjugated, it's always the same word. Let's take a word, a verb that we all know and love, like the verb lavorare, for example, regular verb, first conjugation. So if you were to tell people how to do the past participle, so this lavorato form, what would you think, Martin, is the best way to explain the regular way to do it, at least?
The best way to explain it, I would say, is to remove the RE from the end of the infinitive and just put TO on.
Very good. I agree. Correct way is that for the first and the third conjugation, lavorare, lavorato, sentire, sentito. The second is a bit trickier. What would you say is the most common past participle in the second conjugation? I don't know if you ever asked yourself the question, Martin, or if you just learned them verb by verb, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I've not even considered that. It's just something that I'd well, I guess, yeah, I'm trying to think of them now, and everyone I can think of
It's different. Yeah.
is an is yeah, it's an irregular one, but it's the same. It's basically the same ending as the third conjugation, isn't it?
Often, yes. In my opinion, the most common is the ending uto, UTO, like avuto, potuto,
Okay.
dovuto,
Yeah, good point.
creduto, saputo. It's very common. You don't really have the ATO, ETO, sorry, as you would expect, but uto is more common. So this is the basic rule that we do, how we do the past participle. Take away RE and then add TO, or if the second conjugation, add UTO. Many regular verbs, we have a couple here, at least the verb detto, which is irregular, as we were saying. And then we conjugate the verb avere, as simple as that. So, lavorare, for example, let's do the whole thing as we do in school. I have worked is io ho lavorato, and then we go tu hai lavorato, lui o lei ha lavorato. Noi abbiamo lavorato, voi avete lavorato, e loro hanno lavorato. Lavorato never changes. Pretty simple, very similar to English. That's the basic way to do it. But so what we can take away from this about this thing about the past, and as I was saying, this is a bit more advanced than the topics we have done, but I think it's good to be exposed to it. Number one, learn essere and avere. So if you were io ho tu no, you know essere and avere because you do not only need them as common verbs, which are very common, but any composite tense in the past, in the future, subjunct, anything will need for you to know very well your esseres and haveres. So learn these two, first of all, very well. And then, second, use this past, not the other one that we never talk about. We don't like to talk about them. It's kind of the black sheep of verbs. And just use it like this: I and the verb to have, avere, conjugated, and then the past participle of your verbs. Start learning the past participle of every verb you know, which is not going to be that many, and you can use them. And if someone corrects you, then know it's the other form that we have not talked about yet.
Yeah, it's a good way to start. And as you say, the thing is, if you know the present tense and you know the passato prossimo, you can get by in daily life in Italy. You'll be understood.
Completely, yes. And you will probably understand a good chunk of what other people are saying. Although, obviously, when someone is using subjunctives and they say fossi, and you kind of get lost as to why that is to be. Well, okay, we'll talk about subjunctive trapassato at some point. Not today, though. It's another day.
Ah, dear. Yeah, we will.
Yeah, but that was good.
Okay.
I think it's important to be exposed to topics that are a bit above our pay grade,
Yes.
because we kind of are forced to understand what we didn't understand. And maybe go back to essere and avere if that was something that we are not entirely sure about. So I think it's always good to kind of go a bit above and a bit beyond where you are, just to know if you can get there or if something else is needed for you to get there.
It's always best to know what's on the other side of the mountain.
I
You
agree.
might not want to go there yet. You might not want to go, but at least you know it's there when you look over the top. Excellent. Right. Okay. Well, on that note, we'll wish everybody a happy weekend or a happy day, really, I suppose, depending where you are in the week and
Correct.
want to join our chat. And yeah, keep smiling.
Yeah, always. Ci vediamo settimana prossima. We will see each
Sì.
other next week.
Ci sentiamo dopo.
A presto!
Ok, ciao ciao.